This is the Venny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
I just did a selection of star jumps to warm up the show. I look like a cute girl in Hooters, only not cute and not a girl. And actually, the star jumps were desperately bad and put me somewhat out of breath. But other than that, I look like a cute girl in Hooters. There's a good job I'm on the radio and not in Hooters. My name is Vinny. It's an hour-long show. Where it goes, nobody knows. Well, actually, I do, because I've got a bit of paper with some rough notes on it in front. We're going to talk about the taxi driver of the year, who I met last night. We're also going to talk about ISIS. Always a light, fluffy topic, isn't it? ISIS. Now, we're going to concentrate on their name, which I believe should be changed. Because everyone's, like, changing their name. If you're called ISIS, a lot of people are changing their name. I can kind of get it. But I think we should change their name. And we've got a few suggestions that you can text in. What should ISIS be called? I can think of a few things. You can text the show on 71010 about this or anything else. You can phone the show on 416-872-1010. And you can, you can Facebook, can't you? If you want. No one's stopping you. Vinny White. You can tweet, should you have the need. At Vinny White. And my name is Vinny White. So that's all that taken care of. Done and dusted. Let's start with this. So I went out last night. Want to get something off my chest. Had a nice night. It was good. Really good. It was a friend's birthday. Went to the new Libretto pizza place. It's fantastic. Free plug, because it was good. There's a new one that you can actually do reservations at. You know these restaurants that are so popular, you can't do reservations? Which is annoying, but if I was a restaurant that was so popular, I wouldn't do reservations, so I totally don't blame them. Libretto, the pizza place, there's a couple of locations, but there's one on Ossington, have now expanded to sort of King and University area. And they've got a new one, and it's dashingly good. And I went with a couple of friends, and one of my friends, female friends, not that, you dirty bugger, just a friend, has a bad leg, a very bad leg, in fact. She's had an operation on her ankle, and as a result, she could have chosen to be on crutches, but she's chosen the new way of getting around for people that have had leg issues. It's a scooter. Yeah, it looks really weird. It's a bit of a head turner. So I went out for dinner with her and a few friends last night, and it's quite interesting, actually, because you sort of glide everywhere. Imagine you had a really bad ankle and you couldn't put any pressure on that leg. So imagine you're kneeling on a chair and you're holding the back of the chair, okay? Now, imagine that the back of the chair that you're holding is actually handlebars with brakes, and that the chair that you're on is essentially a chair on wheels. That's the scooter. So you can scoot your leg around using one leg and your knee on the other one, you see? It's very good. And it means that you can be completely mobile and groovy and get around town. Although, of course, everyone looks at you and thinks you're insane. Quite a good conversation piece. Might get a bit boring after a while, but it's still quite a novelty to my dear friend Tierney. Now, Tierney and I had scooted through the restaurant and sat ourselves down, had a nice meal. She had to watch what she drank because she couldn't scoot down the stairs to the toilet, you see? So, you know, she was on short drinks. And I had a couple of drinks, nothing too bonkers. And all was done. What a lovely night out in Toronto. And we go into the snow. Yes, if you're listening abroad, it's snowing here. I'm not even going to go there. I just can't cope with it. But, you know, chin up and all that. It's not the fact that it's snowing that bothers me. It's just the morbid fear of how long it's going to last. That's what gets me. I like the snow. I just don't like it for months on end. Anyway, so it's snowing, we go outside and we're going to get a cab. Obviously, she's not exactly mobile. And so a cab rocks up and sees Tierney on her scooter and then drives off. And I'm thinking, oh, that's weird. He probably got a call or something, or probably just remembered that he was supposed to do something, or maybe he just got a text saying the gas was on from his wife and he had to speed home. I'm sure no one would have such a lack of compassion as to purposely drive off on a Saturday night and get a different fare because the girl that we were with could take 2 to 3 minutes to get in the car, what with the fact that she was wheeling around her leg on a scooter. No one would be that much of a bastard. So obviously he's driven off to attend to other matters. And then another cab came past, slowed down, saw the scooter and then buggered off again. And I'm thinking, this is all very weird. I'll do that thing that you can do. I'll do a sort of social experiment. I'll stand in front of my friend Tierney and her scooter and flag a cab. So the cab stopped, completely stopped this time. And he wound down his windows and asked where he wanted to go, and everything seemed fine. Until he saw the scooter. At which point he said, "Oh, I can't take her." And we said, "Why?" And he said, "Well, you know, the scooter probably won't fit." Well, it will, because it collapses to the size of a very small skateboard. So it will. So don't worry about that. And obviously you're not going to leave her there, a woman in the snow with one leg propped up. You wouldn't do that, would you? Because you've got a heart and you're not, you know, just in it for the money. You actually have compassion over other human beings. Obviously you wouldn't go, would you? Would you go? Would you? Well, actually, yes, he would. And so he started driving off, mouthing out of the window that he couldn't have time to pick her up. "I haven't got time to pick her up," he said. Now, there's a few there's a line within my family of anarchism and great anger for injustice. My grandfather started the IRA, which is not something I'm particularly proud of, but it is worth mentioning at this point. It was a non-violent organisation, and it wasn't called the IRA when he started it. It was the Irish Citizens Army. But the reason I'm telling you this, and again, don't get me wrong, I'm not proud of any form of network that eventually turned into terrorism. I'm just saying that there is a line within my family of gross hatred towards misconduct and injustice. And that popped up last night, probably with a couple of glasses of wine. So it was at that point I decided to stand in front of the taxi and not let him move. So I don't know, I'm some sort of idiot. I know I'm a complete moron and I should let things go. But for some stupid reason, I sometimes think I'm some sort of pathetic attempt at Rosa Parks, freeing and striking justice into the heart of those that did wrong. I mean, it's utterly stupid, of course, but that's what I did. So I wouldn't let him drive away. Now, to my rather large surprise, he got out of the cab and it turned out that he was quite a big guy. Now, it's at times like this in life you think, "Oh, I probably shouldn't be doing this." So he said, "Get out of the way." And I said, "All right, I will, but I want you to explain to me why you won't take her." And he said, "Well, I haven't really got time." And I said, "Well, you'd have time if it was just her without a trolley. And you've also got time to get out of your cab right now and have this conversation. So I'm not stopping you from going now. So you obviously do have time." And then he said he didn't have the room, so I made the argument. By this point, we collapsed the thing away and she was leaning against a lamppost. So he could see that it was perfectly easy to slide it, even in the back of the car with us, or, of course, in the trunk. So that argument wasn't standing up. At which point he lied and said, "Well, I can't take her anyway because it won't fit in the trunk because I've got my groceries in there." Now, it's one of those things in life where afterwards I thought of a million good lines, which I should have said but didn't say. What I should have said was, "Oh, really, you've got your groceries in there? Well, I'm sure you wouldn't have your groceries in there if I had a lot of money and a suitcase and I was going to the airport. You wouldn't have your groceries in there then, would you? And also, I don't know a great deal of taxi drivers that do grocery shopping whilst their probable busiest night of the week and they're driving around in snow at a time that they couldn't possibly get best fares at 10 to midnight on a Saturday evening. So you don't have groceries, do you? You're a liar and you just don't have any compassion in your heart because you're a bastard. And if you say that, I'd sort of have respect for you. You know, if you said, "To be honest, mate, I'm a bit of a bastard. Sometimes I get out of bed and I think about going postal. Life's not going my way. I've got a fat, ugly wife and I hate the world." If you said that, I'd probably let you go. But now you're lying. So I hate liars and I hate people without compassion and I love my friend and she's on the side of the street cold with one leg against a lamppost with a scooter in her hand looking a bit silly. Now her wonderful Australian boyfriend stepped in and assured me that this really wasn't worth it, which of course was completely correct. It wasn't worth it. It very rarely is getting any confrontation worthwhile. And at this point, of course, my other friend had walked down the road and started flagging other taxis, of which finally one stopped. So I am pleased to say that the other taxi was happy to take my friend and her scooter, and that was good. But for the guy that disappeared, I just want to tell you that I really, really just don't like you. I think it's pretty much as simple as that. I think that the problem that I have with you is that you lied, and I don't like liars. Now, I could give a description of what you look like, but I don't want anyone to muddle you up with someone else, and I'm not sure I believe in vigilantism. But you know who you are. So to the taxi driver last night that was on heading north on University, coming up to midnight, and you had a confrontation with a man, a British man, who was a bit scared, I'll be honest. I didn't want to show it at the time, but now I can be honest, I was scared. That guy, I just want to let you know that after meeting you, I've decided I am in favour of abortion in cases of incest. Yep. Even when you're alone, you're in bad company. You are as useless as rubber lips on a woodpecker. You should be ashamed of yourself. Your heart is made of stone and your head is made of jello. Personally, I don't believe in heaven or hell, but I still somehow think that when you die, Mr. Taxi Driver, you will find yourself in the company of Hitler and Gaddafi, and I wish you a lovely stay there. Your argument was pathetic, and you have the IQ of lint. I don't know where you came from, but you are absolutely definitely depriving a village somewhere of an idiot. And I assume that you're just visiting Earth from the planet Selfish. But how you got here, I really just don't know. I can only assume that someone left your cage door open. And I certainly hope that you're sterile. What you lack in intelligence, you more than make up for in stupidity. And when I looked into your eyes, I could see the back of your head. You're living proof that manure can indeed grow legs, walk, and start driving a Toronto cab. And you're so dumb, you probably think Taco Bell is a Mexican phone company. Actually, you're so stupid, you probably got hit by a parked car. I mean, it was just dumb. Your head is so far up your arse, you could chew your food twice, I would say. But at the end of the day, it's all mind over matter, and I don't mind, because you don't matter. So, to you, Mr. Taxi Driver, heading north on university, I don't like you at all. You know who you are. And you're evil. Now, having said all of that, I don't want to just be negative because there's always positive to come out of any story. So, to the taxi driver that did pick us up, first of all, I want to let everyone know listening that we gave him a ridiculously large tip, which I stand by absolutely. And thank you to my friend Hillary that gave that large tip, because I didn't, but I was going to. And so you earned every penny of him. And I'd like to mention your name, because you were a golden, absolute, shining beacon of hope that helped my friends with her scooter into your cab, didn't charge any extra for baggage, and were wonderful all the way and drove us carefully and cautiously to our destination, to a different pub where we had a few beers and drank a beer in your honour. And so, ladies and gentlemen, the taxi driver of the year. Jamil Nadim, you are a fine, upstanding gentleman. And as you drive your taxi through the busy, bustling streets of what can be a cold and lonely city, I want you to know that Godspeed, we love you. You are a glorious and fine man, one to be promoted throughout your corporation of Beck Taxi. Jamil Nadim, you are a fine and beautiful specimen of the human species, and I wish you nothing but success in your personal and private life for the rest of all time. You saw a woman in need and people cold at the side of the street, and you put compassion before money and bothered to stop for 3 minutes to help us. And for that, Jamil Nadim, I thank you, and if I may be so bold, I love you. Not sure why we played the Queen thing, but that was nice as well. Reminded me of home, it did. When we come back, we talk about a comet. This is News Talk 1010.
You're tuned in to The Vinnie White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Yep, that's where you are. It happens every week. You can download the podcast at vinniewhite.co.uk. Google it if you want. I've got a stupid spelling. VINNEY white.co.uk for all the podcasts and stuff. Quick bit of promo for my company. Do you need training in Adobe software? Go to adobetrainingtoronto.com. Adobetrainingtoronto.com. We teach you how to use Adobe software quite well. Pretty good at it. And also, are you thinking about a gift for Christmas? Then why not get a canvas print of one of your beautiful photographs? We can take anything from an iPhone photograph to a high-resolution, sexy DSLR camera photograph and blow it up on canvas. MrPhotoCanvas.com. MrPhotoCanvas.com. One for the road. MrPhotoCanvas.com. That's enough of that. So thank you for your texts so far that have come in on 71010 here to the News Talk 1010 live buzzing studio. And I'm so pleased to say that the first text that came in said, I know the taxi driver of the year, Jamil Nadim, and he's a really nice guy. Good. I'm going to add to that point, because Jamil Nadim was a great guy last night, the best taxi driver I've ever had, and actually cared about someone. I'm also going to say, if you're in a taxi with Jamil Nadim now, give him a big tip, will you? Or if you see that name, Jamil Nadim, then, you know, just go 30, 40% on the tip, because he's a great guy. Good. 71010 on the text if you have any points to make. All right. All right. Right, enough of this planet. What on earth's going on elsewhere? Comet news! Comet news now, and the Europe's Rosetta spacecraft has discovered something surprising about the comet it's orbiting. It makes an eerie noise. The European Space Agency robots instruments have detected a low-frequency irregular sound emitted by oscillations in the comet's magnetic field. Researchers have boosted the sound to within human hearing range, and they're calling it a song. So, I suppose we should hear it then. Right, what does a comet sound like if you boost it to the range of hearing? Let's hear it, baby. It's almost like if you were going to make a sound effect of what an alien life form on a comet would make, and you worked in a like radio. It's going out of control. I think it must be. Sounds like some sort of alien climax. If aliens could come, this is what it would sound like. Really, I've never actually got this far into the recording. I thought it was quite boring, but now I quite like it. How peculiar. Yeah, that is a song, apparently. That's what they're calling it. Researchers are calling it a song. If it is a song, that comet does have a bit of a crap voice. Scientists say they don't know the precise physical mechanism behind the sound. I love that when they... If we use big words for saying I don't know, then it'll sound good. Righto. What should we say? I don't know. We don't know the precise physical mechanism? Oh, okay. So we just don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. They don't know what it is behind the sound, but it appears to be caused by particles released by the comet becoming charged as they move out into space. The comet's song is being sung, really, at 40 to 50 millihertz, well below the threshold of human hearing, but with a bit of help from Elliot, the man there on the decks, you can pump it up and hear it again. Let's hear it one more time. The original. It's kind of cool. I mean, joking aside, we're listening to space. However, you know what it reminds me of? It sounds like the opening of... do you remember Cypress Hill, 1993, massive album, Black Sunday? And a track on it called Hits from the Bong. Let's just hear that. Yeah. So what's happened is the comet is a stoner. Legalised marijuana, man. Yeah, dudes. Word to your mother. And other cool things that people say that take drugs. Yeah. I used to be able to do a Cypress Hill. We'll let him go first. Nice. Starting from the beginning again. Just want to hear the similarity. Yeah, it's the same. It's a comet. Ahead of the time, that Cypress Hill. Yeah, see if I can do it. You ready? Keep it up. Yeah, I mean, it needs a bit of work. inconceivable. Thank you. So there we go. That's evidence. Factual evidence. You heard it here first. It's definitely fact because I said it and I'm on the radio. So that's fact. Work for the Fords. The first spacecraft ever to land on the comet has fallen silent, entering a potentially long, cold sleep after running out of power, of course. So the European Space Agency's, I think it's called Philae, is it? I think it's called the Philae Lander. It completed its last transmission on Friday before settling into a hibernation state as its batteries ran out. The probe has been studying the surface of comet for about 57 hours before it went to sleep, possibly for good. It wasn't studying anything, was it? People were. They always say that. It was studying. It wasn't. It was just looking at stuff. And, people were looking at stuff through it. It has been a huge success. The whole team is delighted, said the Philae Lander manager, Stephen Ulemak, of the German Aerospace Agency, who tackled the very tricky comet landing from the Space Operations Centre in Germany. Despite the unplanned series of touchdowns, all of our systems... It's a bit Russian, isn't it? It's supposed to be German. I'll try again. Despite the unplanned series... It's even worse. Let's go back to English. Despite it's better than Canadian, I'll tell you that. Have you heard me do that? That's so embarrassing. People walk out the room when I try and do Canadian. I sound like a high school kid. Despite the unplanned series of three touchdowns, all of our instruments could be operated. And now it's time to see what we've got. Say, I told you. So bad. 8 years. You're welcome. Touchdowns. It bounced, didn't it? Unplanned crashes. When I fall off my bike, I don't call it a touchdown. Good. The mission is aimed at studying what comets, which are thought to be the leftovers from the birth of the solar system, are made of. Yeah. Comets. Thought to be the leftovers from the birth of the solar system. Unless you're a creationist, in which case they're like, I don't know, God's fingernails. Locked in the ice on comet 67P/C-G. Maybe clues into how Earth got its water and organic material for life, scientists have said. Comet 67P/C-G. Nice. Catchy, isn't it? It's fine to call that to a comet that's never going to be landed on, comet 67P/C-G. But if you know you're going to land on it, just give it an easy name for everyone's sake. The probe touched down on Howard. Howard the Comet. Actually, it sounds wrong, that, doesn't it? Probe touched down on Howard. Sounds as if. I'm not doing any jokes about that other radio host. All right, but even as Philae carried out its science measurements on Comet, what is it, 67P/C-G? Howard. Its days were numbered. The probe solar panels have never received enough sunlight to recharge its batteries. Probably made by Apple. The Apple iProbe. Something that scientists hope would extend Philae's life on the comet's surface. So comet 67P/C-G is tumbling into space. Tumbling! Is it? I'm sure it's just the fact that I've got a mental age of a six-year-old, but when anyone even says tumbling into space, I think of pigs in space. Do you remember that?
No. Pigs in space!
Brilliant. Muppets. Yeah, they're making one... What is it? This comet is tumbling into space. It's making one complete rotation every, I think, 12.4 hours. And there's a chance, possible, that as the comet continues through the inner solar system, we may find it wakes up. The comet might wake up and, as this newspaper says, wake up and phone home. Yeah. Actually, speaking of bad songs and phoning home, do you remember, I don't know if you got this here in Canada, we had to deal with it in the UK when I was living there. It was 1983 and someone came out with this song. I think it was Jupiter 8 featuring Kitty Woodson. It's got to be, I'm pretty sure it's in the top 10 of the worst songs ever made. That's right. Are you sure?
He came from the sky. Well, somebody tried to know him. He's light years away, feeling afraid and alone.
News Talk 1010. listening to News Talk 1010, playing Jupiter 8 featuring Kitty Woodson. All the hits, all the time. The best track of 1983. Actually, it probably could be. It's still bad, but everything was bad in 1983, wasn't it? Apart from Wham, which definitely weren't cheesy. It's weird that we couldn't see he was gay. Right, ISIS, always a light topic, and Tinder. I'm just laughing at the complete stupidity of this radio programme. Well, you find me a radio station now that says, coming up, ISIS and Tinder. You don't hear them often together. We're going to talk about that. We're going to have, I'm not sure if I should use a real name, but we're going to have a female guest in the studio. I won't say her name because I don't know if she wants it used. Can I use it? I can, yeah. Amanda, who's got some Tinder stories soon as well. All right. Shall we do a quick break? All right, we'll be back in a minute.
This is the Vinnie White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
You can text the show on 71010. I always get a giggle out of your texts. Do keep them coming in. 71010. You can phone the show if you want on 416 872 1010. My name is Vinnie White. I'm on every week at 9 till 10-ish. Always a pleasure. Never a chore. Simple as that. ISIS. Always a nice, light-hearted topic, ISIS, of course. The Sunni jihadist organisation, the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, ISIS, has got a stupid name. But it has, hasn't it? ISIS is the name of an ancient Egyptian goddess. And to my surprise, having researched this, because I'm very thorough, you know, I know I don't appear it, but I really am. I Googled for like 2-3 minutes, and I found out the... The name actually is more popular than you think. It's the 575th most popular baby name in the United States, according to the Social Security Administration. Well, it was last year. I don't think it's going to be this year. Well, not amongst most people, anyway. Rumours have been rife that the yellow Labrador in Downton Abbey called Isis has been killed off because it's called Isis. Yeah. It's amazing. You see, the old a leaf falls off a tree somewhere and a bear dies somewhere else, or whatever metaphor that is. But the, apparently it's got nothing to do with it. Yellow Labrador in Downton Abbey, named Isis, is being killed off of natural causes and not as a result of his name. But there are lots of Isises all over the world that are having a hard time. Belgian chocolate maker is changing its name from Isis, a name it only adopted last year. Good marketing meeting, that one. Could have done a Google. A Regina salon owner scrapping its ISIS name. Regina salon. ISIS. Oxford Rowing Club will not change the ISIS name. No, said the Oxford Rowing Club. Well, they probably said no, couldn't possibly, because they're from Oxford. Anyway, I say, that would be ludicrous. Didn't go. Daddy didn't pay for me to come here so we could fall to the terrace, you know. The US hotel chain, ISIS Hospitality, has changed its name. ISIS Power, a US manufacturer of the automotive electrical wiring systems, changed its name. And then there's ISIS Martinez. She's a woman from Miami. Martinez has started an online petition urging the media outlets to stop referring to the group as ISIS and instead use ISIL. The petition has more than 34,000 signatures, of which I'm sure many of them are ISIS. The Miami mother says she feels discomfort every time ISIS is mentioned in the news. Yeah, yeah, I'm sure you do, but not because it's your name. Probably because they're bastards. She said they should change their name, not me, and other people named ISIS. If I change my name, she said, the terrorists will have won. It's not all about you, love. In England, there's a big supermarket called Tesco's, and some of their TVs have been reduced enormously. The Tesco ISIS TVs. So if you want to buy a television in England, go for the ISIS television. They said they were not reduced because they share the name with a militant group, wreaking havoc in Syria and Iraq, of course. A spokesman said, we have a number of televisions that we have on promotion. Part of our commitment to offering best prices for our customers is our promotions online and in the stores. But this has nothing to do with the terrorist group. Yeah. I'm sure there's a 50% sale on Al-Qaeda ironing boards as well. The IRA towel set is heavily reduced. The Boko Haram chest of drawers has a bog off. You know what I mean? And by that, I mean buy one, get one free. Not Baghdadis from an omnipotent god of fear. ISIS declares its intent to invade Saudi Arabia now, of course. House of Saud now wondering if spending 20 years funding Islamic extremists may have been slightly counterproductive. So ISIS, unfortunately, very sadly, don't appear to be going anywhere, and nor does their name. But I'm actually, despite her somewhat selfish nature, I'm with ISIS Martinez from Miami. I think the group shouldn't be called ISIS. I think they should be called Bastards. Be good, wouldn't it? Well, the Bastards seem to be doing other things, disrupting things, you know, in the news. So we shall see. But ISIS, the name. Oh, it's also, by the way, it's also a bra in Anne Summers in the United Kingdom, and they've pulled that off. That was an accidental joke there. They've pulled it off, you see. Oh, listen to something else. Right, Tinder news. Let's move on. I love that I've just transitioned from the most threatening Islamic terrorist group to Tinder. Two equally important topics. Before we do this, do I have to take a break? I don't think I do, do I? No. Let's crack on. Oh, really? I do? Oh. Do I have to do one before the show's over? All right. Can we just, from now on, can we do the adverts on fast forward? Just speed through them. I'll do the basics. I'll just do a line. Instead of doing the ads, I'll just do what the ads would have done. Buy a car. Buy a house. Get a mortgage. Insure your pets. Look after yourself. Go to the dentist. There you go. Let's skip the break. All right, we'll be back after this.
This is the Vinny White Show on In-Depth Radio, News Talk 1010.
Keep up the good work on the text. A lot of funny people today texting in on 71010. You can call the show as well if you want, 416-872-1010. We'll take you if we have time. Tinder news. So if you don't know what Tinder is, it's an app on your phone. Don't turn off. It's not boring. Tinder's weird, actually. It doesn't actually have a revenue stream, despite piling in more than 30 million users in just 2 years. The app is free to use, and Tinder does not actually have any advertising. However, Tinder plans to launch a paid version with premium features by the end of the year. It's owned by Match's parent company, you know, Match.com, the dating dudes. They own a majority stake in Tinder, and it is the number one app for dating. So the idea, I think I can explain it reasonably well, is you install it on your phone. You have to have Facebook, you upload a few pictures, write a bio, and then it looks for people near you that have done the same thing. I think I've got this right. Let's bring on someone that uses it, I'll say regularly, uses it. We'll find out whether it's regularly. It's Amanda Capito, the reporter and anchor from our newsroom. Hello, Amanda.
Good day, Vinny.
Good to be with you, my dear thing.
This is going great.
Well,
great
now start. I know you're single. I've fallen apart. I don't know what to do with myself. So, Tinder. Did I just give a reasonable description of how it works?
Yeah, I think the one part that you're missing, though, is that you can't talk with people unless you've both clicked yes to each other, which is kind of nice. So unlike other dating sites where you could just kind of message whoever, this one, you see a variety of photos, you see their bio, you click yes or no. And if you've both clicked yes to each other, then the app connects you without exchanging phone numbers, which is kind of safe and appealing for people like me. Mm. And you're able to chat with people. And then if you don't like them anymore, you simply click unmatch, and then they can't contact you anymore.
Okay. There's a sort of dubious nature in me that finds this appallingly shallow. Is it?
I mean, part of it is shallow, but I think that's what dating is. A lot of it is based on, you know, looks and first appearances and first, you know, you judge people. You do. Yeah. So, and you read their bio, you chat with them for a bit, and if you don't like what you see, you don't like what you get, and then see ya.
Do you meet anyone that wants to meet you, or do you filter them?
Oh, I filter them for sure.
So what's, if male users are listening, what are you filtering? What are you looking for? Or what are you not looking for?
Well, I don't, I think everyone's different, but I personally just look for someone. You could just tell someone who seems like a good guy. Is that weird? Like someone who's like a nice, friendly smile. And there's some people who put pictures up that never show their face. That makes me feel weird.
Do they show other things?
Sometimes. No, you can't have any. You can't have anything that's that can be reported, or else I'm sure they take it down.
Well, you say that. I've spoken to quite a few girls that have seen the occasional gentleman's sausage fly by.
And you know what? I haven't yet. Thank goodness.
Thank goodness. No. You know the thing
it's
that amazes
you off guard. I don't know.
I know. It amazes me that anyone would think, oh, I know what they're like. Yeah, that looks good. I'll just Photoshop in another couple of inches and pop that puppy up there. I think what men often forget is that women don't think like men.
No.
Like, they don't think, well, I like sex, so I'll put the penis up and then, like, she'll probably be into it because she's like me. No.
Well, you know what? You have to use photos that you already have on Facebook. You can't just upload a photo straight. And
I
so
see.
Facebook doesn't let you put those kinds of photos up. Therefore, I mean, if you got through the sanctions of Facebook and then able to pick it, maybe there's some loopholes there. But for the most part, it's pretty clean.
So I looked up some stats, and there was a huge study in the US that surveyed 16,829 adults using Tinder, aged 18 to 64. So a pretty broad range of people there. I like the fact there's 64-year-olds on it, by the way. I think that's cool.
Yeah.
And they said, what are your reasons for using Tinder? And this is what came back. It's like a game scored 20%. All right? That's what people's response to it was. Why do you use Tinder? Well, because it's like a game. 20% of people
said
that.
It is like a game. It actually says keep playing. When you get a match, it says keep playing or send a message. So it's like a game.
Men. Disposable. Women, disposable.
But you're all doing it for fun.
Well,
you can't go in with high expectations. When I've met up with people through this app, I'm not going in being like, this is going to be the love of my life. You just go to see if it's someone interesting, someone nice, and if something happens, then great. If not, oh well.
How many dates so far?
I've been on 6.
Whoa, hold your knickers on.
Excuse me, they're on.
Good, that was just some reassuring advice for the future days. Okay, so what are they like? Any winners?
No, to be brutally honest. So, I mean, some people were nice. Most of them were interesting, to say the least.
Mm.
I've had some interesting stories. Would you like me to tell you a story?
Oh, I'd love one. Yes, please.
I had one guy who, when chatting, sounded really great. I got like a little bit excited. He was mentioning that he like coaches Little League. I thought that was really sweet.
Mm.
We ended up meeting up. He had gone away for the weekend with his friends. I go, that's good. He has a solid group of friends. The guy's weekend. He came back. We went out. And within maybe 10 minutes, he was telling me, like, when they dive in with, like, really obnoxious stories right away, that's a real red flag.
Mm.
So he told me very, very early. This whole date was 1 hour. Let's just preface it with that. So within this 1 hour, I heard the story of...
I'm sure he's going to tell you that you're beautiful. He's going to buy you a glass of champagne. He's going to take your coat
right.
And then ask you about your family. Yeah,
yeah, right. He told me that we were talking about traveling because I love traveling. And I was like, oh, where have you been? Or where do you want to go? He's like, oh, well, I can't really go anywhere for the next 3 years. I was like, oh, no. Why? So turns out he can't leave the country because he has a criminal record. And I'm like, okay. So trying to play it cool. What's you stole something?
Yeah, you're drunk and you probably accidentally.
No. So then he's like, well, I just got into a bar fight. You know, I was younger. And I was like, oh, so both of you got criminal records? He's like, nope, just me. I was like, what did you do? He punched someone else so many times that the guy he was in a fight with needed complete reconstructive surgery. His Little League coaching that he did was actually part of the community service hours.
Oh, okay. Right.
Comes right on back full circle. Part of the community service hours for this crime. And he couldn't leave the country. And then also decided to mention that on his weekend with his buddies at the cottage, he was, and somehow transitioned to this, I don't know why, trying to convince me that he wasn't a violent person, but then told me that he was setting chickens on fire and then smashing them with shovels to put them out of their misery.
It must be very tricky to say, I'm not violent, and then at any point in the next few days say, I sometimes set chickens on fire and smash them over the head with shovels.
I think he was getting nervous. I think we had a drink. We both had a drink at this point, and it was just going downhill real quick.
If you hate poultry, then he's the man for you.
I guess.
If you really just do despise chickens.
I said, that's animal cruelty. It's really horrible.
It's disgusting.
It's disgusting.
Well, that's the weird thing about a lot of these stories that I've heard, and I've got a lot of female friends, and they always say that men tell them stories presumably in a bid to impress them, that does the complete opposite, which is an absolute perfect case there.
Yes.
What should men do? Because, I mean, that's definitely what not to do. Well, if you're a bloke and you're listening to this and you've just downloaded Tinder and you've got a hot date tomorrow with a sexy bit of stuff.
Oh, goodness.
What's the way in? What would you personally be looking for? I think you're a reasonably normal person. So you've got past the pictures. There's no willies hanging about. In you go. And what's happening?
I just think some of it you can't pre-plan. It's like a natural chemistry that you're going to have or you're not going to have with the person. Mm. But also, I feel like anything incriminating, I mean, at one point I was trying to really put myself in his shoes and go, maybe he's trying to be brutally honest and be like, you know what, I'm not going to hide this because 1 month into a relationship, I tell her I have a criminal record. That doesn't look good either. Yeah. He's laying it all out. I appreciate honesty a lot. So I really tried to take that into account. So usually honesty is the best policy. I also really liked someone who listens. And sometimes I'll drop nuggets of information within an answer to something else. And if they're just blindly listening and not actively listening, I take offense. But if they're going to follow up on a question with something else that I said, I think that's really genuine and nice and sweet. So if I say, I used to work on a cruise ship, FYI. So if I say, oh, I love Charleston. I used to work on a cruise ship and that's where we're reported out of. And if he moves on and doesn't acknowledge that I worked on a cruise ship, I note that. But the normal reaction, or I think someone who genuinely is interested and cares about you, would say, oh, you worked on a cruise ship? Cool,
yeah,
tell me about
that's
it.
That's worth Let's a little look-in, isn't it?
Yeah, a little look-in. So anyone who follows up, I think that's big bonus points in mine, like a genuine interest in what I am saying to you. So that's all I'm asking for, really.
Men, listen.
Just listen.
And also women, listen, because I don't know what it's like on the other side, but I'm sure there's women that just bang on as well.
Well, I guess.
There is a website that gave me more information on this. One of them was things that people have put as a pickup line on Tinder.
Because you need some interesting opening lines.
I've gotten some interesting... How would you respond to one of these?
Okay.
Is your dad in jail? Because if I was your dad, I would be in jail.
Ooh. I wouldn't answer that one.
It's not creepy, is it?
Yeah. It's hella creepy.
How about this? Do you want to go halves on a baby?
That's funny.
Okay. She might actually go. So there's a fine line here, I can see.
And maybe that's just my humour. That's funny.
Yeah, my favourite, and I might use this next time in the bar. I just wanted to let you know, I want to paint you green and spank you like a disobedient avocado. You know, it's out there, isn't it?
Yeah.
What about the classics? I mean, a lot of guys, I've heard complaints that a lot of guys just say, hey, baby, do you want to hook up? No. What do you respond to that?
No, you don't. I've had a guy say, what's your third favourite animal? I thought that was an interesting one. I had to really think about it.
Just trying to think of mine.
I know. I think you spark a real interesting conversation.
I think I'll go for the springbok.
What?
Agile, but, you know, not as cuddly as a panda. And on that bombshell, we'll leave it. Thank you so much, Amanda Capido, reporter and anchor here at News Talk 1010, for coming on and revealing all.
Thanks for having me.
As for you, fine listener, I'll be back next week. I might have a two-hour show next week. I'm not sure. I think I might be in for Page M. We'll see how it goes. You never know what's going to happen. Always a pleasure, never a chore. Look after yourself. The Dream Team are next, and they're going to take you on a radio journey to heaven.